Hi, it's Clint and Lyndon.
Welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen.
As always, our opinions are our own and should be taken with a pinch of salt.
At the sound of the Arwen cow, enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen.
Are we using silky words?
Silky words. Because it's ineffable.
It's ineffable.
I should do adverts for chocolate or something.
A thousand years bound beneath the waves.
Maybe you should
I
do it.
I have watched you. I have tasted your essence.
You're quoting.
I am quoting.
Nazoth. You're quoting nothing. Welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen. I'm one of your hosts, Clint, and you can find me on Instagram under Clinty Sky Guy. Off, you freak.
And I'm Lyndon. And you can find me in the darkest reaches of the abyss.
Do you know if you ever stare at the abyss, and if you stare long enough,
it's just me.
Lyndon looks back. I love it. Lyndon freaked himself out once. What did he do? He stared into an abyss and he only saw his own reflection.
Do you know what that's actually a true
story? Yeah, I know.
It's a true story.
Fuck me, you've got to tell us now. Magical moment!
No, it's not a magical moment. It's just stupid. When I was young, my mum went out.
You found a mirror?
I think
shock.
She went... Absolute arsehole. Okay.
Sorry.
We're choosing violence, are we? Okay, that's fine.
Not yet. Go.
But yeah, my mum went out on a date, I think, or a work thing. I'm not sure. And so I was like, okay, I'll run a bath. So I ran a bath. And then I enjoyed my bath. Lovely. And then I was sat in this bath and I thought, I'll get out now. And then I caught my reflection in the tiles. Overreactive brain. And my brain suddenly went, what happens if I look away and I look back and there's someone standing behind me? So I had to then sit in that bath, staring at myself in the tiles until my mum got home, which was about 2.5 to 3 hours.
God.
So, yeah, I have stared at the abyss, and it was dull. Anyway, magical moments.
Magical moments!
What's yours?
Oh, fuck, I had it a minute ago. Oh, bollocks. Bollocky, bollocky, bollocks. Bollocky, bollocky, bollocks. It did have a magical moment, and then it ran away.
Did it?
What was it?
Did it?
What the fuck was it? I don't remember what it was.
I don't know.
I think, it was about the funeral of my friend. I was going to touch on that.
Okay.
There was lots of magical moments around it. There was some, I did the witch's rune at my friend's funeral, and I don't suppose it is a magical moment, but it was a magical moment for me. I did the witch's rune at
what is the witch's rune?
The witch's rune is a rhyme. It's a it's a spell, and it's hearken to the witch's rune. That's how it starts. So I can't remember the whole fucking thing. It's east and west, south and north. Here I come to call thee forth. Powers of the witch's blade, da 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 da. Queen of hell and queen of hell, work your magic until my spell. Blah 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 blah. It's really, really fucking cool. Really, really cool. And I got to do that at my friend's funeral as she went. And I remember sitting there. So I did that, and then somebody else did something. And I may upset these people if they listen to the podcast, but tough shit. It's my experience. Now, my friend, I'm trying desperately not to use her name. My friend, she was a bugger. She always had everybody's best interests at heart, but she was a trickster through and through.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd never do anything to hurt anybody unless they deserved it. In which case, she's single-minded. She'd just get on with it and do it. A bit like myself. If you deserve it, you're going to get it. Both barrels. Right. And then it's done.
Then it's done.
Then you've had it and it's over. And if you don't want to get back to me, well, that's your fucking problem. But don't expect me to sit down and take it. You fucking deserved it. Anyway, she was much the same, but she would be a trickster. And I remember being there at her funeral, and I did the witch's rune that she'd requested. And I thought, okay, that's her magic done for her funeral. Now the rest of the funeral is for everybody else. And I knew that because we'd had that conversation previously. That's what she wanted. She wanted that to see her off. And then the rest of the funeral, fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, cool, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that reading for you. And then whatever happens, happens. And she said, somebody else is going to do a bit of a conversation about our friendship. And that was that. Anyway, they started drumming and singing at the funeral. One of the pagan chants that we used to do at the Grove. And I swear to God, I heard Marilyn. Fuck. I said her name.
Sorry.
Never mind. I heard her laughing. Proper laughing. Like, sort of like, this is so shit. This will fuck them up. This is so weird. Why would anybody do this at a funeral? I'm so glad it's happening. Like, as if to say, this is just a laugh. And she used to just sit there, get people to do stupid things, and then laugh at them. In life. And I'm like, this is one of those things. You've done it again. You're gone and you're doing it again. And I could hear it as clear as a bell. Her just going, like she could have been perched on the end of the coffin, watching it, just laughing at it, going, you look like a bunch of Muppets. Because it was a bit random.
Yeah.
It was incredibly random, considering everything else. It was a bit random. You know, and I just thought, okay, fair enough. That's fair enough. But I proper felt like I could hear my friend laughing, proper guttural fun. Like, this is crazy. This is mad. She'd sit there, wind somebody up at the pub, and then she'd go and buy herself a drink and sit down. And just watch the chaos ensue and laugh. It's absolutely brilliant. It's why we got on, because at the time I was heavily involved with Dionysus, so I used to do exactly the same thing and just watch chaos ensue and just sit there drinking, watching, enjoying the show. Just the same, we used to get on so well. It was brilliant. But yeah. That's my magical moment.
That's lovely.
Yeah. But like, yeah. Still engaged and chatting and talking to each other even afterwards. Fab. What's your magical moment?
Don't have one.
Oh, well, you're a bit rubbish then, aren't you?
Yep.
What's the point?
I know.
Again, what is the point? No, your magical moment is that you once saw yourself in the reflection of the bathroom tiles and yes. Realised that mirrors are freaky.
Realised I am ugly and I'm at peace with that. That's a Drag Race quote.
You're not ugly.
Thank you, darling.
You're welcome. It's not a compliment.
I wish I could reciprocate.
It's fine. It's fine. Touch me again and die. Die, you will die. Death.
See, if I really do die now, you'll feel really bad.
No, I won't.
Okay.
You don't know me very well. I'll be thrilled. I'll be like, fuck me. I've got power.
Many a tear will be shed. No.
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 Okay.
No.
That's fine.
It's not the sort of thing I cry about. I cry when there's no more cake. I like that Sarah Millican quote where it's like big girls don't cry. And she's like, yes, they do. I cry because I'm fat and I cry because there's no more pudding. And it's really funny. Anyway, today we're talking about spirit allies.
Yeah, spiritual allies.
Funnily enough, I have actually been thinking about enchanting the sword in my living room as a spiritual ally because there's a little man on top of it.
You're going to infuse a spirit in it?
I think I may invoke a spirit from it.
Okay.
Evoke a spirit from it rather than invoke a spirit into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I want to.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
I kind of want a guardian over the living room. And I was thinking about who I should have as the guardian over my living room, as a bit of like a house spirit. And because I do, I have a shrine. So in the corner of my living room, you come into the door of my living room and that's one corner and you're facing the bay window.
Through the dark, dark door in the dark, dark house.
Oh, I fucking love that. That's like the best thing ever. I love that rhyme. And then if you like immediately face left, there's a love seat, like a big armchair.
Gay.
obviously. And have you seen my furniture? It's green velvet in a green room with black and with dark wood and gold. We are very gay. It's a very gay room. So yeah, so you walk into the door facing in the corner of the room, the right-hand corner of the room, facing the bay window. If you turn immediately left to the opposite corner, there's a shrine.
Anyone actually follow that?
Probably not.
Next
to that shrine is a sword. And at that shrine, every morning, I do my morning prayers, which I forgot to do today.
Scandalo.
Fuck, heresy. And so, actually, I could, when I do my offerings, I could extend my offerings to the sword. And when I do the seining with smoke, I could sane him as well.
You can wave your sword around.
I can wave my sword around. But it'd be nice because, of course, he's a sword, so there's an element of threat with him that if you don't play by the rules, he's got the ability to hurt you, you know. So he's got the threatening compulsion, which is what I would need from a defensive spirit in my living room. Make sense?
It does.
Yes.
But why would you allow any threats to get in the house, darling?
Well, no, that's not the point. I don't allow threats to get in the house.
So why do you need a protector in the house?
Because you invite guests into the house. And guests are invited. The problem is, when you invite a guest, you invite a guest including all their gubbins.
Yeah, this is true.
So you can't always protect yourself from guests. And guests bring with them what they have. So sometimes you have to protect yourself from the guests that come. And unfortunately, on top of that, I still believe, because Wayne works with death, that every now and again death comes home with him. So I like to...
I put holy water in my guests' tea.
Do you?
No, of course I don't. The look of shock on your face then, as if I've been making you ingest holy water. God.
No, I mean, I'm not worried about it, because I'll just wee it out. But other people... Other people...
When you think you've got
who are just not prepared.
When you think you've got indigestion, it's the Jesus. Sin.
It's Jesus it's burning Jesus. Away your sin.
Sin. I haven't got any sin.
You're riddled with sin.
I'm not riddled with you sin. Are. Look, like I have pox. One patch.
Like pox.
He's a poxy. He's a poxy mess. Yeah, so I like spirit allies. I use a lot of spirit allies. I work a lot with them. I work a lot with them. A lot of my relationships with spirit allies have kind of run their course over the past kind of like few months. So I'm
so you're no longer working with Gog Magog?
No, I'm still working with Gog Magog.
Okay.
Still working with Gog Magog. I haven't done a lot with him, to be fair. But then I haven't done, like I said before, I haven't really practiced any big ritual or any big spell work, so I've had no reason to. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
but it might be an idea actually. I can invoke Gog Magog for the sword, you know. But you know, we'll see. I may invoke, I may evoke. I don't know whether to charm the spirit that's inherently part of the sword and give it purpose, or to invite a spirit to inhabit the sword. I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
I feel better about charming the spirit that already is sleeping there, because it's not doing anything. And just see
if
it's...
we go into the complex nature happy, of animism.
Yeah, whether it's happy to take task. Because, you know, I've been drawn to it for a long time, for a while now. It needs cleaning, it needs polishing, the blade needs some restoration done on it, which is fine, I can do all that. And I think that might wake it up a little bit.
Yeah, you should come on it as well.
Oh, for God's sake, what is it with you and spunk?
Hey, that's what you pagans like to do.
I don't come on anything other than a man's face.
You like to holler at the moon and come on everything.
That's what Pappy said.
That's what Pappy said.
That's what Pappy said.
Yeah. No, I just come on people. I don't see.
Nice.
What's the point of wasting it on things?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, not random people. Just get that out there quickly. Not random people.
Hey.
Always consenting people.
No one's
and
judging.
And always only one person, really. Because
no one's judging. No one cares. You can come on as many people as you like.
Everyone's judging. Have you met people?
Plenty of people out there that jizz on at least 20 people a night.
you do? Put it in a super soaker and just go hell for leather?
No, they go to bathhouses and orgies and
you get them all to line in a row? Line in a row.
No, but you
just jizz in the bath and then you get 20 people.
Multiple part. Okay, if we're gonna go down this really gross mentality, if you jizz in basically a cum dump bottom, and then the amount of people that then put their bits inside that bottom, your jizz is then touching them. So depending on how many dicks that bottom takes, depends on how many.
I mean, I was like, if you jizz in a bath, then everybody else gets in the bath, and you're like, no, in a butt. You took it that one step further.
Why is me saying sex jizz in a butt is one step further than you saying people are bathing in jizz?
It's a good question.
Anyway, spiritual allies.
Who are your spirit allies?
Well,
Jesus.
Seeing as how I'm not an animist.
Jesus.
And I don't believe that swords have spirits and rocks have spirits and things like that. Because I don't.
And you paint with all the colours of the wind.
Okay. I love the face you pulled. That was lovely. That was a magical moment. my spirit allies would be the saints, I suppose.
Jesus.
Well, Jesus is God, so.
Is he now? Is he now?
Yes!
Yeah, okay. Only since
Nicaea. So, no.
No! So, who are your saints?
All of them, I guess.
You greedy cunt.
Well, they're all there. Oh, being greedy.
Which cake is yours? There. All of them.
All of them.
What do you mean, all of them? Well, they're there.
It's true.
They're all my cake.
Yeah, they're all there for the
Who's your cake. Saint?
Saint Joseph of Cupertino, the flying saint.
Oh, the cappuccino saint.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the one you made up.
Which, actually, funny enough, the cappuccino was named after the Franciscan friars.
That's why I don't.
Well, the monks of the Capuchin friars.
Capuchin.
Have brown robes, so they look like. It was the same colour as the cappuccino.
Brown.
So cappuccino is named after Catholic monks, isn't it? You're welcome, society.
Right. I don't drink.
Just one more thing that we gave to the world.
I don't drink cappuccino.
You're welcome. But anyway, so yeah, Joseph Cappuccino, the flying saint. He's the one that I took as my confirmation name. So occasionally I work with him. But I do also love me Saint Benedict. I think he's great.
Benedict. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Who else?
My favourite's Francis.
Oh, who?
Francis. Saint Francis is my favourite.
Yeah, Francis.
I quote him all the time.
And
even though I'm not Catholic, I do quote him all the time. Only because the only quote I use is that I do use all the time is at all times preach the gospel and then sometimes use words.
Yes.
Which is walk the fucking walk before you fucking talk the talk.
Yes.
Because if you can't do one, you don't have any right to do the other.
Yes.
So, which I really love. That's an aggressive interpretation of that quote, but still.
Yes.
It's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
You're not wrong.
Ever.
No. Well.
Ever.
Ever. Ever.
Ever. I'm not familiar with the sensation, I'm afraid.
Who else? Joseph, Jesus' stepfather.
What's he saint of?
He's the scourge of demons. And he's the patron saint of.
Is he?
Yeah, carpenters and other people.
Okay. So the way it works with me is that I would engage in a reciprocal relationship with a spirit ally. So I would... My brain just went somewhere with that. Not in a dirty way, just in a way that made me go, oh, for fuck's sake. So it would work whereby I would work on a reciprocal relationship. So it would be a case of...
Excuse me.
I wouldn't do that. It would be a case of making offerings to that spirit... effectively feeding them in a way that made them
eat, 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 eat.
Yeah, effectively feeding them and giving them sustenance, to it, like plying somebody with drink, effectively. It's not a bribe because they've agreed to do it, and if they don't agree to do it, it doesn't work.
Okay.
So, you know, it's about engaging in a relationship and then fulfilling that relationship by promising to still provide for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not financing you, fucking you, or feeding you, don't bother. And it's that sort of relationship. So with you, however, what is the relationship? How does that work? Because you don't have to make an offering to saints. They just do it.
No, some people do, though, when they do novenas. Yeah, yeah, yeah. In folk Catholicism, there's this whole thing of...
We don't talk about that. That's dirty.
What? What?
We don't talk about folk Catholicism. That's dirty.
Is it dirty?
It's dirty.
Well, I'm dirty, Gertie.
Dirty Gertie from number 30.
Oh.
Carry on.
Okay. So there's this kind of slightly ridiculous notion of hot saints and cold saints. I'm not going to say it's completely unfounded because it's
to do with a certain
practice and I have to show respect to those practices.
Yeah.
However, if we're going to step away from the folky part of it and look at a more kind of traditional Catholic point of view, which technically folk Catholicism is just Catholicism, but whatever. That's a conversation for another day. Yeah, hot saints and cold saints. So what you would do is you would do a novena to a saint and you would say, this is what I would like to have happen. I will do this prayer for 9 days. At the end of these 9 days, I will then donate to a charity or do good works or do this or do that or, you know, whatever. If you can make my prayer happen, that would be great. So it's kind of an incentivization for the saint.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can give them offerings. So certain ones you might give them like tobacco because maybe they like to smoke, or you can give them ale and beer or whatever as offerings.
I've just remembered something.
Okay.
I just remembered the saint with the little drawer.
The little drawer?
Yeah. Underneath him. You take away the baby Jesus.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry to distract.
That's saint punishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saint punishing.
So,
this statue I saw had, it was, who was it? Saint Anthony? And he has like the little baby Jesus in his arms. Mm. And what you do is you take away the baby Jesus and you go, unless you find me my car keys, you're not getting Jesus back. And you put Jesus in a drawer underneath his feet. And when you get your car keys back, you put Jesus back in his arms.
There's things
about, so I think funny.
I think it's Saint Joseph.
It's all just witchcraft.
I think it's Saint Joseph. You petition him for like house sales and things like that. And what people tend to do is they'll bury him upside down. I will not upright you until... which... I have major issues with.
Yeah, I do, because that's like the idols thing.
One, it's, yeah, idolatry, hardcore idolatry. We can kind of get into the nicky-pickiness of that.
No.
Because, no, there is certain flexibility within that, but we'll get into that in a minute. So there is the kind of idolatry element of the saint is present in that statue at that time that I am speaking to them and I am punishing them. But then there's also this thing of, why are you being a cunt to a spirit that you're effectively trying to get to do you a favour and then expect them to do it and also come back to you the next time you want something? It's ridiculous. It's a very toxic, abusive relationship trait. And as far as I'm concerned... if you wouldn't abuse a human being, why would you abuse a spirit?
Yeah.
Especially when these are the spirits of people. So I just think it's horrible. With idolatry within Catholicism and also Orthodoxy, Orthodoxy more so than Catholicism, we have images and we have statues. There is idol veneration, which isn't worship.
No.
We would... like some people like to kiss the feet of the statue of like the Virgin Mary and things like that. It's the same as like I kiss my mum. I don't worship my mum. I love her as my mum. So a lot of people kind of pay homage to these saints because they were touched by God. They experienced grace. They lived wonderful lives through.
They were diddled by Jesus.
Through them, no. Through them, God worked miracles. God's sake.
Sorry. God.
Jesus.
I'm only saying things that you have thought previously.
Okay.
And you've said that anyway.
Probably.
Yeah.
So Yes, but within... So the Orthodox Church takes it to the next level. They perceive that because these spirits are now in heaven, they are outside of time. They view that... I think I'm explaining this correctly. They are present at the moment in those statues, in those pictures, as well as being elsewhere and everything else. So when they pray to the statues, they are there. Where idolatry is viewed as, you know, ah, oh, they're idolatrous. Isn't that the thing you say you shouldn't do? It's actually, it's wrong. So the proper saying is, thou shalt not worship craven idols. So it's about the right kind of idols. So if it's a holy image, it's fine. If it's a pagan image or a blasphemous or an evil image, then it's wrong. So if I'm standing worshipping a horned god image or an idol of, I don't know, demons or nature spirits or whatever, that's a craven image.
Mm.
Whereas something that represents heaven or the glory of God is not. And that's the way the Orthodox Church gets around that.
Mm. So is Jesus and God a spirit ally?
No, because God is God.
All right, dear, calm down.
Well, they are the thing. So are they
a spiritual entity?
Yeah, I suppose they are.
Are they a spiritual ally?
Yeah, I suppose they are. But I don't.
As a loose, I mean, I'm not being funny. We're not giving a definitive definition of spirit ally. We're giving a loose definition
of what a spirit ally could be. From a loose definition point of view, yes, God is a spirit ally, but I do feel like that's quite a small, demeaning way.
That's a horrible way. I'm not going to turn around and say, it's like turning around and saying that the gods are tools. Like,
yeah.
I would never say it, but I know where that's coming from. You know, I know where that idea comes from. And the same, really, the gods are spirit allies. I don't... It feels wrong
to say it.
It feels dirty, but I get it. I get that they are spiritual beings. And all right. So I can feel them scowling at me.
Yeah, my cross just got hot.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I can feel them scowling at me from the corner in the shrine. Like, I get it. I get it. That's a dirty image. It's a dirty thing to say. And of course, they're much more than that. But the relationship, you know, initially, it can start off that way.
Yeah.
Can very much start off that way. And then it grows into something bigger. Whereas with the sword, for example, that I was speaking about earlier, it won't get any bigger than that.
Mm.
It won't get any bigger than the service that sword provides.
But I mean, as a pagan, and especially an animist, you've got tons of spiritual allies. I mean, do you go as far as... Like, the plants and the herbs you work with, are they spirit allies?
No,
do you
they're acknowledge? Plants and herbs that I work with.
But don't they have spirit?
Yeah, of course they have spirit. And I commune with the spirit to do the task. But that doesn't mean that they're a spirit ally. Not in the sense that I would consider that... So, a spirit ally, for me, is one that comes back. Right? That is... that you develop a relationship with. I think we've had this conversation about spiritual contracts, you know, where you're in a spiritual contract with that being. And I get where people are going to go, but a spell's a spiritual contract. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. But that doesn't then elevate that spirit to a spiritual ally. You know, in the moment, yes, but it's not one I'm going to continue to call on. Literally, that spirit becomes part of the impetus, is that's what it is? The impetus of a spell. You know, it gets... I ask it to impart its power upon a situation. And that's it. You know, that's it. But it's not so much a request as a command when I'm doing that sort of thing. It steps outside of druidry and it steps more to within sorcery. Because what I have in my hand is not the whole plant. It's not even the... indwelling spirit of that plant. It's not the overarching spirit of oak, which I may invoke at times, who I do invoke at times, as the oak king. It's not the holly king, who again is another person that I work with. It's simply the tiny piece of mistletoe that I have in my hand. It is no neither big nor small. It just is. Its power is limited, but I can push it and direct it. It's just a magic bullet at the end of the day. And all I do is I tell it what to shoot at. and that's it. And then the spiritual essence from that piece of mistletoe goes and does that task. And then when it's finished that task, it becomes, again, part of the ether that is then moulded back into the sovereignty of the goddess.
Mm.
So it's just part and parcel of that thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't necessarily gel with the idea of plant allies. If I had a tree or a bush or something in my garden that I kept taking cuttings from, like, my sage plant outside would possibly be a spirit ally, but I don't think about it like that. I think of that as a, I know this might sound demeaning, but I think of that as a pet that I take care of, that I love, that I look after, but it lives in its own environment, so it's more like my garden's a bit of a nature reserve
mm-hmm.
than a pet, so it's like a wild creature that I help to nurture. And then when I take a part of it, it's payment for the nurturing that it's gotten.
Okay.
And then when I work with those parts to work magic, all I'm doing is I'm pointing and firing, no different to the spirit in my wand. Although actually my wand is a bit more in depth than that.
Hmm.
Because my wand has a spirit. But that's that.
Interesting. So I'm not an animist, so I don't see, like, animism can go to the extreme. Well, I suppose, does it go to the extremes or is it an extreme? I don't know. But the viewpoint that, like, rocks have spirits mm. and every drop of rain has a spirit and rivers have spirits and all this kind of stuff. I don't see or believe that. However, there is a slight crossover. So I'm not going to go as far as saying, like, trees don't have spirits. Trees are alive. I know they're alive. Scientifically, we know they're alive.
Mm.
They live, they breathe, they grow, they develop, they wither, they die. Mm. They have a cycle. Rocks don't. But trees do, and they contribute to the living world because they are alive. They have offspring. Because of the mycelial network, there's an intelligence there. They decide and make consecutive decisions when there is damage where to distribute resources to help the young rather than to help the old. There is a complicated system in there. So I can't completely discredit trees not having souls and plants not having souls. We know they feel pain. We know they feel...
And animals.
And animals as well. Yeah, exactly. So yes, I acknowledge there is life there. Down to the complexity of their spirits and their souls, I don't know. However, I do take a... I do think there are spirits in the world that we can't see.
Yes.
Yes. There is very much a kind of a medievalness to my way of thinking in that way. There's plenty of stories of saints turning giants to stone.
Yep. Gog Magog.
And
he was never turned to stone. He was pushed off a cliff, but that's not the point.
Yes. Yeah, these giants turned to stone and spirits or devils being, like, cast out and things like that and chased around town and shooed with iron horseshoes and all sorts. So there's this kind of rich culture within the faith of us having to deal with spirits of the natural world. So I'm very much aware that these things are there. Mm. So when I walk in their spaces, I walk with respect. So I had quite an interesting encounter, actually, a few months ago. I suppose I could have used this as a magical moment. I
didn't. Fuck's sake, this was a magical moment. You didn't use it.
Well, I'm saying it now.
All right. Better late than never.
So, get off my tits. Just get off my tits.
I love that you're wiggling the non-existent chest tits.
My tits.
That's great. Breast augmentation.
But yeah, so I went to the woods around me, Halston Woods.
Mm.
Haven't been there in a very, 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 very long time.
They know where you live.
They know where I live.
Go on.
So I
like it there.
I went for a walk there. Now, when I was last properly there, I was pagan and I did pagany things. And for some reason, I got it in my head, and this is very stupid, and I know the people that are listening to this are going to roll their eyes and say, that was very stupid, Lyndon. I know that was very stupid. Thank you very much. I hated myself the second I did it. But I had it in my head that I would go back to those places that I went to and perform those pagan rites, and I would do a Christian blessing on those spaces.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I know! Don't judge me! Shut up!
I judge you every day.
So I went there, and as I was walking through the woods, I kind of got this... Well, everyone knows what it's like when you feel like something is wrong. That's what I had inside me. But I thought...
Oh, like when we went to Glastonbury.
Yeah. I felt very unwelcome. But I had this kind of feeling that this is wrong, I shouldn't do this. But I thought, no, No, this is right. I galvanized by faith, I suppose. So I went, said the blessings. Thank you. Went around, did the thing, left. And as I was leaving, I felt so unwelcome and so like I'd done the wrong thing. And I knew I'd done the wrong thing. And then as I was leaving, I thought it was quite funny. I stood under a tree and there were literal acorns being thrown at me. Being thrown at me. And I was like, okay, I have to go. So I went and I went home and I thought about it. And I thought, no, the arrogance of going there and thinking that I need to bless a natural space. And also, like, it's not a human space. It's a natural space. And there are spirits that live there. And yes, I did pagan rituals. And no, I don't agree with what I did back then. However, it's not for me to do that. And if I want to do Christian-y stuff there, that's absolutely fine. 'Tis God's world. God created it. Make of that what you will. We can decide and disagree on that however much we want. But there are other things that live there. It would be like, I don't know, a load of deer moving into my neighbourhood and setting up shop. Well, you're not welcome. It's a human environment. Fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to go there and start doing the same thing, no, no, no. So
it's like you coming around here, rearranging my furniture and going, I like it like this.
Yeah, it's much better this way.
What?
Yeah, get out.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I got some apples. And I blessed the apples. I said a blessing over the apples. And I then took the apples to the woods. And I put them down there. And I just said, this is just a gift. It wasn't an offering to the woods. It was just like a sacred whatever. It was just a gift to say, like when you go to a person's house, you bring a bottle of wine.
You bring something for the house.
Yeah. So I brought the apples there that I had blessed. And I said, this is for you. They have been blessed. They will mulch down and they will bless the earth, and they will bless, you know, your environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And as soon as I did that, the entire environment shifted and it felt nice again. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, we've readdressed it. So I now know that whenever I go into natural spaces, if I want to do these things, I just have to do it in a polite manner and not act like an arrogant Christian. Just be like, Jesus bless you! So
it's that thing, isn't it? It's that thing. It's the, which is why I get frustrated when people turn around and go, I want to escape the mundane and enter the magical. And I'm like, you're under some sort of impression that the two are separate from each other.
Yeah.
You know, or natural, I want to get out. Yeah, I want to get out of this and get back to nature. And I'm like, I turned around to Wayne the other day and I was like, we literally live in a cave.
Yeah, we do.
We literally live in a stone cave. Human beings live in caves. They're just made of clay. That's
but we
been,
always have.
Well, we always have lived in caves, and we still live in caves.
When you look
we
at,
we just build them.
When we went
that's
to
the only difference.
When we were in Spain,
they're
we
still
went
made
to Nerja,
of stone.
Yeah, when we went to Nerja, we went into the Nerja caves, and they're amazing. And they've got these like Neolithic cave drawings of animals and.
Yeah, and they used to carve beds and
but they're like,
chairs and seats
they're
out of
so,
the rock. And
what
it's
I
like,
couldn't get over was that they were so deep into the cave.
Yeah.
And like, these people lived off of like lichen and like all that kind of stuff.
And they had rooms.
Yeah.
Different rooms for different things. It's a fucking house.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just that the walls aren't 6 inches thick. They're mountain thick. Like, that's the only difference. We still live in caves. You're not devoid of nature.
No.
You're not separate from nature.
No.
All we've done is we fabricated our caves.
Yeah.
And put them in places and built them from scratch rather than trying to create them out of natural formations. We've just made them ourselves and plonked them wherever we want. They're just rock cocoons. That's all they are, houses.
Yes.
They're made of clay. Like fuck off. Stop thinking you're devoid of nature. It's when people go, oh, I want to get out of the city and get into nature. And I'm just like, well, go and spend some time in a more rural setting, by all means. But, like, you're not out of nature, because like the moment the street sweeper stops sweeping the streets, those plants will start growing. Those things will start joining it. The moment the groundskeeper stops keeping the grounds the way humans like it is the moment that you realize actually it was always there.
Mm.
You were just subduing it.
Yeah.
That's all we do.
So from my experience, I've come to realise that Because it was difficult when I first converted. I had to reconcile what I now believe to what I used to believe.
Oh, it's really
and
hard.
It wasn't just, well, I believe this and no, I don't. It's, well, I've done shit, I've seen shit, I know stuff exists. How do you... You can't then just turn around and be like, well, it's not real now.
It's the reason I'm not Christian is because I can't... I literally cannot subject my life experience to such a narrow view. Because it does, it just doesn't.
Yeah, but
and I'm not. I don't mean narrow to sound horrible or anything. I can't. I can't equate it, and it would be too difficult and too potentially damaging to do that. Before I got to a point of reconciliation, yeah. I think I'd be dead.
I know what you're saying. It would take me too long. But I do have to say, from the outsider looking in, it does look like it's extremely narrow. Once you're in, you realise it's not.
No, I get that. But it would take me a long, long...
I've now reached a point where I'm able to kind of... I accept that there are spirits out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's within our own folklore. It's there. So the way I approach them now is they're not my allies, but they're my neighbours. So I want to keep a nice, peaceful relationship.
Yeah.
So
they're known as good neighbours.
If I go into the woods, there may be a giant spirit roaming around, or there may be fairy folk or devils. Well, same difference depending on how you look at it.
No, we're not doing that. We're not having that conversation. The folkloric devil. No.
Depending on how you look at it. So, so when I go into those places and I do want to do Christian craft.
Do that again?
Christian craft.
Do you practice these things?
No, they just come natural.
Do they?
Yes.
God, you're so talented.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
Okay, anyway.
I have to first enter that place and treat those neighbours with a bit of respect and just say, look, here, this is for you. This is to nourish your ground. This is to show respect to your space. I'm now going to go and do my stuff in your space. So, yeah.
You're assuming it's your stuff in their space.
Well, it's not their stuff in my space.
Well, no, it's not anybody's stuff in anybody's space. It's a natural space. You're part of the natural world. It's as much yours as it is theirs.
Yes, but I'm practicing Christianity.
That doesn't matter.
Oh, God. All right, love.
So this is where the hardcore polytheist out of me comes
See,
out.
See, okay. I disagree with hardcore polytheism.
This is where it comes out.
I disagree with hardcore polytheism.
Right, so I don't worship God. I don't ever deny that he exists.
Okay.
That's literally hardcore polytheism.
But that's where it breaks. That's literally where it breaks.
I don't worship.
Yes. However, right, I understand from a polytheistic view, even a hardcore polytheistic view, to say that the Greek gods are separate from the Roman gods. I know a lot of people like to try and join them up, and there's a lot of people that like to say this god is the same as that god is the same as that god. They're all one thing. I understand that from a hardcore polytheistic view, you want to separate these gods and say,
No, don't want to.
They're their own unique being.
Don't want to. Blah, blah, blah. I just experience them that way.
But where it starts to fall apart for me is when you say you also believe in my god.
No, I don't believe. I just don't deny. Did I say I believe in him earlier?
I don't know.
No. I acknowledge.
So you acknowledge my God
exists. I acknowledge your God exists.
But you can't do that.
No, I can.
No, because you because to acknowledge
on the ground right.
To
so
acknowledge
no.
my God is to acknowledge that they
Shut
are
up.
The one and only
Shut
true
up.
God,
Shut up.
King of the universe,
no.
God of gods.
No.
Yes.
No.
Because that's it. It's like saying yeah. I acknowledge Zeus.
Yeah, no, that's
but
fine.
Then not acknowledging anything that goes
no,
with
that's,
Zeus.
No, that's all. Again, that's all. By and by, that's all absolutely fine. Like, yeah, fine. It can be what he wants. Like, I really, really does. It's not that deep. It's really not that deep. And it's like, I just don't. Like, I acknowledge that. I don't know. Wayne's granddad exists. I've never met him. I'm never going to meet him. But I acknowledge he existed. And that there's power and space over the relationships had by the people closest to him, the impact that he had on the environment that he was in, and all this, and the continued impact of his existence still reverberates. But personally, there's nothing beyond that acknowledgement. That's it. So yeah, I can acknowledge that your God is God above all things, blah, 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 all those other things, all those titles, that's absolutely fine. Because if I denied his existence, that would be stupid. Because to deny something's existence is to deny its impact, effects, and influence. Well, I can see its impact, effects, and influence. So to deny the thing would to deny all those other things, and that would be stupid, because something never comes from nothing. Things always come from somewhere or something. So your faith works. Your religion, your practice, your beliefs, they work. They impact your life. They affect things. They affect change. They do. The evidence of the existence of your God is there. So to deny said existence would be stupid. And that's how that works. Not that, like, all the other things are fine, whatever. I don't have to believe. But as a hardcore polytheist, I also never deny the existence, ever, of another deity existing. Zeus, absolutely fine. Zeus exists. Zeus exists. Zeus is there. Zeus still has an impact. I can see it. I can, if I want to go and find it, I will find it. I will see it. I will find people whose lives are changed. I've met people whose lives have been changed by Zeus. It doesn't mean that I worship Zeus. It doesn't mean that. Yeah, and that, but I think that's why I'm animistic as opposed to deistic. Because I don't see much differentiation. You know, the gods are of a higher issue. They control shit. I think I came to this conclusion when I met Chris Hughes in Anglesey, because he was talking about terrestrial gods, extraterrestrial gods, not aliens, extraterrestrial, so not of the terrestrial plane. Yeah. So gods of things like time, gravity, light, darkness, heat, cold, you know, shit like that. They are the gods that when this planet explodes, which eventually it will, and everything dies, they're the ones that will be left. All the gods of grain and the cycles and the seasons and of the waters and the rivers and the mountains and all the rest, when the sun goes supernova and blows this planet to dust, those gods will become dust with us and will return to the stardust, which the other gods are in control of. And they are just supremely powerful in their own right and descended from each other. They're like family units. And there's an overarching spirit that controls all of that. I don't need to care or know. Really don't. But I'd never deny it. Never deny it. That's where the kind of hardcore polytheist in me is just like, don't try and syncretize. Don't bother. Just engage in the one that you get. The thing that you understand. If you understand one, you're doing better than some people who understand none of them and get nowhere with it. That's me. Anyway,
okay.
My tangent done. So yeah, so I would never deny, because he wouldn't have... There would be no Christianity. There'd be no Judaism, there'd be no Islam. Yet there is. It's all there. So I couldn't deny it. That would be stupid. See what I'm getting at?
Kind of. I still struggle with it, though.
Yeah, no, you don't.
I understand it with polytheistic sense, looking at pantheons, because no god in a pantheon claims to be the one supreme god. They are all there. They all exist. They're all part of a family. But to apply the same logic to a single deity that like claims to be God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and everything in between, and all things.
The Aten.
What?
The Aten.
What's the Aten?
The Aten is a great supreme deity. Akhenaten.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but that was made by a king.
No, the Aten existed. He just abolished the worship of all other gods for the Aten. The Aten already existed.
It was the sun, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which was already... So in mythology, mythologically speaking, everything came from the one source, you know, Anun and not Anun. What's her name? Nui and Geb. All those other gods, they all came from one place. Yeah. And he just took it back to its original source and just said, we're all going to worship the Aten because that's where it all comes from anyway. It's the supreme it's the supreme deity, so we're just going to get rid of all the others and just worship the one.
Didn't last very long, though, did it?
No, it only lasts for his reign because, unfortunately, rather than doing it for the
His
son was Tutankhamun, yeah. Rather than playing the long game, he just sacked all the priests. So he caused an economic and socio-demographic collapse of his entire kingdom. And then wondered why, as soon as he died, they just went, well, we'll go back to the old ways because we could make money and live that way. And we know how to do that. We've been doing that for generations. And, you know, this new way just didn't work. It was just silly. He tried to just stamp it out. So it was just daft, right? Absolutely daft. Same with Judaism. Judaism did not always have one god. They had multiple gods. And then they syncretized and then started saying that the different names for all those different gods were just names of God. So they just syncretized, which is actually whatever, it's fine. They're your gods. And you understand them better than I do. And you have developed and that god decided, those gods decided that. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. So fine, whatever. Absolutely fine. Yeah, the same with the Hindu gods. You know, there's an idea that the Nordic gods came from an original source. You know, but it doesn't... you can't necessarily just... deny its existence. It still exists. Just because you don't believe in a thing doesn't mean it's still doing its thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't need you to believe in it to work. So that's the way I see it. It doesn't really matter.
That's a good point of view.
I don't have to believe in God or Jesus or any of the saints for them to still be able to do their shit and do their everyday miracles and so on and so. They're still going to do it whether I care or not. You know, no different to Ellen and Hearn. They influence my life. They change things. They impact things. Whether you believe in them or not is irrelevant, completely irrelevant to me and completely irrelevant to them. They don't need you or me. They're going to get on with it regardless. To deny something's existence is just silly. Well, it's just my opinion, but it just seems really silly.
That's good.
You know, so, and that's the hardcore polytheist in me, you know, which is why Spirit Allies just kind of works, because it's like, well, if you're there, like, let's have a chat and just make sense, you know. And why I think like this idea of us and them is a bit daft as well, because like you turn up and if I'm at a church, and I've had to learn this the hard way because I wasn't always, and only since Wayne's been Catholic, if I'm at a church, I'm respectful. It's not my temple. It's not your temple. It's his temple.
Mm.
It's nothing to do with the people in it. It's his temple. It's his house. And if I turned up to your house and I was a dick, you'd tell me to fuck off? Why would I challenge a divinity? I wouldn't. That would be stupid. You see? It's all very straightforward. You know? And I know that's like giving human qualities to divine beings, but I only have human experience to understand things.
Yeah.
So it's using that human experience of the world to make sure that I am giving divinity its due by making sure that I don't treat it like a human being and I only treat it the way I would expect a good thing to be treated in any way, shape or form. I wouldn't abuse an animal. I wouldn't hurt a person. I wouldn't treat somebody's belongings like shit. So why would I do it to a divinity?
Makes sense.
And I don't separate them. Like, if you go to a church, you're respectful. If you go to a Hindu temple, you're respectful. If you come to my ritual, you're respectful. Simple as. That's it. Which is why, the same reason I get fucked off with Christian bashing. So you shouldn't be doing that either. It's just rude. My doorbell's going to go. Because somebody's banging stuff from ups.
Oh, fuck. Hang on. Oh, let me go out to the door quick.
Okay.
And then we've got to say goodbye, I think. So yeah, that's, sorry, doorbell's done, that's all finished. Yeah, so that's my thoughts on being a hardcore polytheist. Yeah, and so my point about bringing that was, when you go to the woods, they're still God's woods, they're not pagan woods or the woods, it doesn't matter, because if you see God in all things and all things as part of God, then it shouldn't matter. You should be just turning up to be respectful to the place because it was part of God, I guess. See, I'm trying to do Catholic vernacular and I'm not very good at it because I'm not Catholic.
No, you're doing well. You're
but
doing
you know,
well.
You see the point I'm getting.
I see the point.
Yeah, if it's God's creation anyway, then by respecting it, you're respecting God. So
yes.
It makes sense that when you go, because doing Christianity on a nature space, that's not doing Christianity because you're ignoring the fact that it's God's anyway.
Yes.
Which is why it was wrong. You get what I'm saying?
No.
It was wrong because you were making the assumption that it wasn't already. You were divorcing it from God, which is wrong.
No, I wasn't. No, you're missing the point.
Oh, wait, I miss it then.
So
I get wrong.
I went there to go back to the areas where I'd done pagan stuff to undo the pagany stuff that I'd done.
Yeah, and that's my point. That's my point.
Yeah, but in my mind, I'd defiled the ground.
Ah!
So I was going to bless it.
Oh, I see. Why? What had you done in the woods?
I'm not going to say.
Oh, okay. Cursing?
No.
Oh, well, you're all right then.
Don't worry about it.
One and done.
But it was areas where I had made promises to pagan gods and I had done other things as well.
Oh, okay.
So I went to those places to not undo, but to just rectify.
Oh, I see.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think, and it was just a reminder you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
There was no need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Get that. Yeah. Definitely.
So how else do you work with spirit allies?
I have been thinking and getting an inkling at work from something. I can't figure out what it is. I never get the chance at work, but I think there's a spirit at work that I need to work with.
Okay.
Generally associated with the work that I do. There seems to be something niggling the back of my mind, like some sort of spirit of learning or a god or a goddess of learning or something like that, because something keeps tweaking my attention and distracting me, and then I get the sense that I kind of ask what should I be doing next, and something gives me the answer, but I don't know what. So I don't know, it's a bit weird. It's a bit strange. So I think I need a bit of divination doing at work.
Ooh.
I've got a tiny little shrine at work on my desk that needs a bit of TLC. And I need to set something up so that that's all done and lovely. But I think when I do that, what I'll do is look at what is trying to get my attention and see if I can figure that out. Because it's doing my nut now. It's getting on my nerves. I need to kind of figure out what's going on there. Because it's most days there's like a little niggly like, Clint, do the thing. And I'm like, what's going on in here? And it's like mid-task. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What am I doing? What's happening? Huh. Well, that might be the Alzheimer's starting to kick in.
Maybe.
I can't remember. But,
Sorry, you're not boring.
Ah, you liar. So I don't know. I think I might have to do that. That'd be interesting. And then it's just, generally speaking, the way I work with spirits is, like I say, it's effectively ally with them and then offerings every time I can. Offerings. I don't then continue to ask for things. I just keep making offerings to them. You know, I keep that bond intact. So that's it, really. There's not really a lot more than that. My morning devotion is my morning, to the gods and to the ancestors and to the spirits, and that's it. And I offer them salt, water and incense, but I offer it on the proviso that they guide me and that they always have it regardless, but that in my time of need they come to my aid. So they come to my aid, so I wouldn't know whether I needed anything or not because they always come to my aid anyway.
True.
Okay.
Saints, I don't need to offer them anything, really. Like I mentioned before, some folk Catholics do, but you don't need to. So you can do novenas to them, but that's more about dedication. It kind of shows the dedication towards the need, right? So if it's just something flippant that I'm just like, oh, I need this, then you're only going to spend about 5 minutes, if that, praying for it. It's not really that important. Do you really need it? Whereas if you spend 9 days praying for it and asking for saints to intercede to pray when you can't pray, etc., etc., it shows a real need. It kind of emphasizes, I suppose, to God the urgency for the prayer and the honesty. You know, prayer without honesty is just, it's not genuine, so it's not going to be, not really going to be answered.
Although I think anything without honesty is bullshit.
Yeah,
personally,
absolutely. And so with saints, I don't need to offer anything. The whole point is that when we die, we go to heaven and we become saints, and our role then is to intercede. So it's about service when you die.
I just thought something then that was like, anything without honesty is bullshit. Like, if I curse you, I mean it.
You mean it. You mean it. 100%.
You fucking deserve it. You gun. Because you're honestly gonna get cursed. Anyway.
So yeah, so that's the whole point of it. You know, I live my life, I get my experiences, I die. So this is why we serve God's counsel in the afterlife. Because you've got angels, which are by all means perfect. They are cosmically, they're like pure intelligence and pure wisdom. But what they don't have is life experience, because they've never lived. They just are.
I find it quite interesting with angels. They're just, they're a thing.
Yeah.
They can't necessarily deviate. So you've got an angel who is justice. They can't necessarily deviate from justice. Everything they do, everything they experience, is framed within
the
confines of
but
justice.
Like, we do. So this is where we get demons, and which is where, like,
It's when they break
our
that.
Opinion. We get like pagan gods. It's when they start to derive worship for themselves. So they do deviate and break away from it in a way, but then they're. A lot of time their powers or their attributes almost become the opposite of what they were before, or it might be a lesser form of what they were before, but that's getting into something else entirely. But so angels are, they're wise and they're intelligent, but they have no life experience. So when people pray to them, they look at it with kind of a, almost, I suppose the way I've attributed it in my head is like how people that are very high on the autism spectrum look at things.
Very literal.
Yeah, very distant.
Incredibly literal.
They don't really understand emotions, or how can they empathize with a woman who's lost her baby when they've never had a baby and they've never suffered loss, and they've never, you know, this is why when we die, we also serve on God's counsel to administer to the people, because we have the life experience to back up their prayers.
That's why you have saints.
We can go to the person who's sick or who's lost their mother and whose life is falling apart, because maybe we've suffered that in our life. So we have divine empathy. So we can say, I understand where you're coming from. I will take your prayer, lay it at the feet of God. I will put some urgency behind it, and I will pray for you. It gives a degree of empathy to an otherwise unempathetic host. And that's our role in heaven, is to add the emotion to the angelic.
Do you make this
non-emotion.
Shit up?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
I love it. It's great. Where did you get it from?
Oh, all over the place.
All over the place.
All over the place. Yeah.
It sounds a bit all over the place.
Well, there's loads of stuff comes from the Book of Enoch, and then
Enoch.
Enoch. He's knocking. And then there's loads of information all over the place.
Better than knees knocking.
I can't. Unfortunately, annoyingly, I can't cite my sources. I will admit some.
Oh, no,
of it,
I hate that. It's really hard.
Some of it is like stuff that I've sat with and thought of, because I've thought
UPG. UPG.
I've sat there and I've thought for a long time, well, yeah, but like, why would we serve? But then when you look at all the information that's given about angels, how they are, you know, aside from the ones that are given as like, you know, guardian angel.
All right, Sandra.
But they're there to protect me, and that's it. They're not there to help me manage my life. They're not there to dig me out of my own shit.
They don't help you with your direct debits.
No, they don't.
No.
Or when my life is falling apart, they're there to protect me from other things.
Darling, is your life falling apart?
Yes!
Oh, dear.
Yes, like sand through my fingers! but that's what they're there for.
Yeah,
and So, but then when you look at what the other choirs of angels do, like they look after groups of people, or they look after the flow of the universe, so the elements and gravity and the planets, and some of them look after the forming of planets and all this kind of making sure everything flows and works well. Well, a being that's designed to be like that isn't going to get emotional, because they have to accept the consequences that things are going to get destroyed and things are going to get created. They
can't because they just see it as a process.
It's a process.
It's just a process.
So they are coldly logical, coldly like non-empathetic, but very, very wise. And their wisdom comes from a lack of emotional attachment. They're able to see straight through into the heart of things. So they're great for going for wisdom, and they're great for going for non-emotional counsel. But who do you turn to? I mean, yes, we turn to God and everything like that, but like God's busy doing everything else as well. Doesn't mean they can't answer our prayers, but this is why we have intercessors, and this is why God gives grace to other beings so that they can do it on behalf of God, with God's permission, with the grace given, blah, 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 blah. So who do you turn to when your life is falling apart? You turn to a saint.
Yeah.
And you say to the saint, can you do this? And they're like, yes, I will intercede on your behalf. So then they go and they take the problems to God. God says, yes. They go do it. Bish, bash, bosh. Perfect.
What a weird thought I just had.
What was your weird thought?
I just had a thought that that's how God got so far. He's actually just a divine parasite. He gave his grace to people. That's how he spread so far. And now he's just in everything.
Everything.
Because he's just like, I am able to do everything and be everywhere because you've let me in.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Yeah. And we pray it so some people... It's a weird way of looking at it, because yes, God, this is why we have an issue between like the way Protestants think and the way Catholics think, because we go to the saints first, and then through the saints they lead us to God, and through God our prayers are answered, whereas the Protestants are just like, well, yeah, but you don't need any of that, just pray straight to God. And while I agree the saints are there for a reason, and God allows them to do what they do because he wants them to do it, he wants to share grace and power, he wants to. It's all there. It's all there.
Yeah.
I've heard
I reckon it's all the devil. It's fine.
Oh my goodness. All of it.
Yeah.
Even your stuff.
Oh yeah, all of it.
All of it.
Yeah. Wayne said to me the other day, well, not the other day, because he stopped saying this to me now because he gets pissed off with me. He said to me ages ago, he said, the devil's greatest trick was to convince everybody he doesn't exist. And I went, don't be stupid. The great devil's greatest trick was getting a young girl pregnant and telling everybody God did it.
Oh my goodness.
I got in so much trouble. So much trouble.
That is...
Almost as much trouble as I got in when I told him the other day. And he was just like, I shouldn't do that. It's a sin. And I was like, you better be sinning. And he went, why should I sin? I was like, because if you don't sin, Jesus died for nothing.
Yeah. Wicked.
And he's like, it's not how it works. And I'm like, well, tell me how it works. If you stop sinning, everybody stops sinning. What's the point? He died for nothing. So keep sinning and get on your knees. You know, and he told me off. Because apparently that's rude and disrespectful.
Yes, it is.
Is it? Oh,
yes.
Shame.
Sadly. Sorry. Oh,
I thought it was funny and witty. But apparently...
That's well, it is funny rude. And witty, and also, also delicious,
rude
but
and disrespectful.
Yes, but also rude.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Ah.
where was I? Oh yeah.
I don't know.
So,
sorry.
Devil did it. I watched a video the other day, and this it was an Orthodox priest. He very eloquently described why we pray to Mary.
Mary.
Because he was talking to a Protestant, and he actually described it quite well. He just pointed to the feast at Cana, which is an exactly right representation of what happens when you pray to Mary, and also any of the saints, really. Boy. So the feast at Cana, water to wine miracle, the first public miracle. The wine runs out.
Yeah, I know what happens. Why is it Mary's fault?
It's not Mary's fault.
Not that the wine runs out, but why is it Mary's fault?
It's not Mary's fault.
What?
Can I explain?
Yeah, okay.
Thanks. Go. Great. Awesome. Cheers. Shut your cunt mouth. So when we pray to Mary, it's exactly the same thing that happens at the Feast of Cana. So the wine runs out, they go to Mary and they're like, the wine's run out, we're in shit, can Jesus do anything? And she's like, well, let me go find out. So she goes to Jesus, can you help out? And he's like, my time has not yet come. She's like, well, if not now, when? So he then agrees to help. So she then goes back to the people and she says, do what he tells you. And that's exactly the relationship between Mary and the saints.
Right.
We go to them, they go to God, they then come back to us and say, do as God tells you. Or, your prayer has been answered. It all leads back to God. That's the whole point of it. They no, we never worship any of them. All they do is they direct us back to God. And all Mary ever does is just lead us back to her son and say, do what he tells you. And that's how it works.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, honey.
Okay.
Okay, honey.
Okay.
You go back to God. Mm. Look at these lashes.
I feel like the 4th of July.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, okay, I'm done.
You're done.
I'm done.
I'm done. Stick a fork in me, I'm done.
Yeah.
Just reminds me of Jamie Oliver sausages. Prick really? With a fork.
Yes.
Anyway, thanks very much. We have been shoved up your Arwen. You can find us by Googling us.
There is no spark. There is no magic. There is no je ne sais quoi.
What's that from?
Tank Girl.
Oh, I fucking love Tank Girl.
Come, Jatina, darling.
Come, Jatina. Oh, I fucking haven't seen that film in yonks.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, it's really, really good. Really, really good. They're fighting over water, aren't they?
Yep.
Oh, amazing post-apocalyptic awesomeness and kangaroo people, why not? Anyway, so yeah, you can find us at most podcast providers, and thanks very much for listening. Oh yeah, okay, love you, bye.
Love you, bye.